Welcome to minute 138 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today on Hub Day is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back on. I am excited to be here today.
Let's see what movie recommendations we can come up with today.
Yes, I need one for each day. I'm very excited about this. So far, I get excited sometimes, but these are ones where I'm like, I want to watch them right now.
You see, you just don't talk to me enough. I always have good recommendations. Come on.
I'll just have to bug you then. I'll just have to bug you more.
Feel free.
And just randomly start hitting you up for recommendations. Especially since I don't watch movies as much as I used to.
There you go. I do.
I know. I mean, you do have the name Movie Rob. If you're going to be Movie Rob, you got to live by it.
Well, I my goal every month is to watch 100 movies.
You do that many every month?
Every month.
I'm super impressed.
For I think the last 5 years, I can't even tell you for how long I've been doing that.
That is incredible.
Is it 5 years? It's been a while. Well, again, I can't remember how long it's been since when I started making sure that it was 100 a month.
You know, what made you start 100?
I don't know. It's just the way that it fell out at some point. You know, it wasn't. I guess partially because it's like 3 movies a day, more or less. You know, that's the average.
That's fantastic. That's really great. You know what? You're living your life wonderfully. I'm happy for you. Sincerely. I mean it sincerely.
My wife still thinks I'm nuts. So
that's what I do with mine. And I constantly get the other side of, how do you read that much? And if I don't feel like being snarky and make up a reason that isn't true, I like reading. So when I have spare time, that's what I do. You should do what you like when you can, right?
Of course. Of course. That's the way it should be. That's what I think, at least.
I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're on podcasts talking about movies, and we're breaking down this movie 1 minute by 1 minute.
That is true.
And also, the people who are listening, you guys must be pretty big movie fans, too, if you're listening to a movie by minute podcast.
Right. So, okay. Ever since July 2020, I've watched 100 movies every month. There were, because of COVID, during March and April of 2020, I only watched 80. But then in May and June, I watched 120 each to make up for that. And then if you go back further, wow. I'm just like amazed at myself. Okay.
You should be.
It's January 2018. That was that was when I started watching 100 movies a month. There was 1 month, I don't remember why, but there's 1 month where I watched 125 movies. That was November of 2019. I'm trying to figure out why. You know, like what was so special about that month that I watched so much? I can't tell you right now. Before that it was whatever I was able to get out every month. But okay, so a little over 5.5 years now? I've been watching 100 movies a month, more or less.
Spectacular. Well done.
I'm happy about it. And it's not only new movies, it's 100 movies. It could be, you know, there are months where I rewatch, some of my favorites. There are some months where I watch only my favorites. I love those months, you know, where
I was going to say, those are probably nice months full of comfort food. Yes. I've been rereading books I haven't read since I was in my my teens, and some of them I've been doing audiobooks on too, and I'm just having this wonderful resurgence of affection and love for these stories that I haven't experienced in so long, and it's so delightful. I'm also different to listen to them as an adult now, but there's something to be said about re-listening, re-watching, and going through media or storytelling that you love so much. There's a comfort to it.
Well, for me, it's more than that. Even it's not just the comfort aspect of it. It's the idea that I truly believe that every time you watch a movie, you see things that you didn't see before, which is
oh,
also
yeah.
why I try to theoretically I review every movie. You know, there are movies I've reviewed 20 times. You know, and every single time it's slightly different because it's okay. I noticed this. I think Rogue One is probably the most that I've reviewed. I love that. You know,
that's
I can watch
fantastic
that over and over and over.
Great choice.
It's my favorite Star Wars movie outside of the original trilogy.
It's the best outside of it too. I don't know. I think I know that some people don't enjoy that and they just want to enjoy, you know, on a superficial level, movies and stories. And I understand that too, but I'm like you, the more I watch something and the more that I learn and see, the more behind the scenes stuff I understand. When you start getting into the making of things and you start learning how sound is made in some of the movies you watch. I love that stuff. I love
exactly.
All the mechanics of all of it. I love what goes into making the movies too. I love seeing like the blood splatter from a couple episodes ago. I love seeing that and going, I wonder if that was intentional. I wonder what that was for, which you're not going to notice on your first few viewings of just kind of going through it. It's just there. There's just these little pieces that I don't know. I feel the same way though. I think I enjoy stuff the more that I see it and get to see all those little pieces.
Exactly. 100%. All right. So, minute 138 begins with Miller giving an order and ends with Upham. So yesterday we ended things with, you know, the we had six guys climb onto the tank. They threw in a grenade and then, you know, we hear Ryan and then Miller shout out that there's a 20 millimeter gun there. And Miller, this minute, he screams out, "What gun? 20 millimeter, take it out." And, you know, right after he says that, he starts shooting in their direction. But then we see them 120 millimeter just start shooting at the guys that are on this tank. And we see all six of these guys just get obliterated.
Yeah.
You know, which again is one of the things that I've been trying to do is I'm counting the number of men that are there to defend, you know, Ramel. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the only way to really count them is to know how many die. You know, because
Fair.
They all look the same. So it's a question of just you know, trying to see how many of them there are. And the truth is there's actually seven of them that are on here, not even six. There's one that falls down immediately.
It's hard to see too. And in the coloring here, they blend in.
Well, it's saturated. It's saturated coloring on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to give us the gritty look of it all.
Yep. Yep. And this sequence too is as grotesque as it is. Because that's what's happening. They're just getting obliterated by bullets. I would compare
and
this.
We see like one of the heads explode, and you know, it's just like Spielberg doesn't shy away from showing everything as it is.
Exactly. There's limbs that are being torn apart. It looks real. And you compare this to other movies that you've seen, like wartime stuff. Like, think of Rambo 5, I think it was. I think that's the one with the 50 cal at the end where he just starts lighting people up. And I know we talked the last episode too about, you know, gratuitous violence versus the violence telling a story. But in this circumstance, it's just telling the story. And like that, he's not shying away. I feel like this is so impactful because it's not gratuitous. It's not there for any kind of show. It's there because that's what happens to bodies when they are shot with a bunch of bullets at once. And that's what happens.
Correct.
The reality of it. It's not trying to make a, oh my goodness, moment for the audience, even though that's how it translates, because that's what should happen as a response to it. But it's gritty and it's real and it's terrible.
This is an anti-war war movie.
Yeah. Yep. The good ones usually,
you know,
are.
That's right. They show how much war is hell. That's what it comes down to. And the only way to do it is to be as brutal as possible, to show everything that this is what goes on.
Yeah, that's why,
you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it.
And like the last episode with Miller, when he just, you know, shoots those guys, doesn't even think. We've at this point grown to really like Miller. We know that he has a big heart. And he's a good man. And he just shoots some guys. You have to be ruthless. You have to do that or you're dead. There's not a choice. It's instinct to survive. It's survival. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, they're, that's why they're showing it to us. Have you ever seen Hacksaw Ridge?
Yes. Oh my goodness. That movie. So good. Also intense again. Shall we use the word intense? Intense, intense, intense. Wow. Yeah, you know, I want to rewatch that. I don't think I've watched that in a while either. Not a long while.
What's really funny is that I actually saw a double feature the day that I saw Hacksaw Ridge, and I saw Rogue One with it. That was my double feature. I saw Rogue One in a theater in one town, and then I had a half hour drive to go to another town to catch Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was going, why? Did those two movies really go together as like a double feature? But okay, that makes more sense. But then again, no, I saw Heart and Souls and Jurassic Park feature together as a double feature too. So
no, but I'm talking about double feature in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the most I've seen twice in my life, I've seen three movies in a row in the theater.
I've never
done that. And also in different theaters. You know, I've traveled from theater to theater. You know, I like set up the times. But I mean, it's been years since I've done these type of things. Because again, what Rogue One came out was it 9 years ago that when I did that.
Yeah.
You know, my wife would kill me if I told her now that I wanted to do that. Yeah.
I would back be up for it as an adventure. But I don't think my husband would like that either.
There you go. Totally. All right, so next time I'm in Detroit, that's what we're going to do.
Game on.
So, I mean, basically, the effects here are just amazing because it looks so real with the way that these guys are just being completely obliterated by this 20-millimeter gun. And, you know, they show, once again, the Germans shooting them, and then once again show the bodies. And I mean, as we mentioned, we see decapitated bodies. There are bodies where they're missing other parts, other limbs and stuff like that. It's just really, really brutal the way that they show this. And then the shot changes, and you know, we see Parker up in the clock tower, save the clock tower. Looking down, and my first thought about Parker looking down is what? Okay, if you look at second 11, and you can see Parker, what do you see that's wrong about Parker at that point? Can you see something? Can you notice something?
I'm looking at the gun and looking at the background behind him. There's nothing behind him.
What's on his head?
Oh. There's nothing on his head.
That's right. Why the hell is he not wearing a helmet?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I thought there was something else I was looking for. Yeah. Oh my God. You're right. Why doesn't he have a helmet on? That's a really good point. He doesn't hear.
It's like he's still on vacation. I don't know.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, that's not. Good call. Good call there.
But then we see Jackson, and Jackson also is without a helmet.
So maybe when you're up to like sniper stuff. I would give a pass on that one for sniper. It's going to mess with him and whatever he's doing and that kind of thing. Snipers are the goalies of the military. They're their own breed. But yeah,
it just doesn't make sense.
In real life though, yeah, I'm with you. I can't imagine them not having their helmets on. Unless they for some reason lost them, but we didn't see that in any of these sequences.
Yeah, no. I mean, we saw them pulling up a 30 caliber machine gun, you know.
You know, maybe it was just for the audience so we can identify who they are. It would be harder with their helmets on.
Okay, it is very possible.
Yeah, because there's no other logical reason for it that I can think of.
Correct.
And I tried to make my sniper thing win, but it didn't.
Yeah. No, and it's also great because, like, we see from up above, you know, once again, the everything that's going on down below. It's a great camera. It's a great movie making trick. Yeah, you know, to give us two characters who are above everyone else, so therefore we can see things from their perspective also.
Yeah, it's like it's third person shooter perspective. It's right over their shoulders in this part.
That's right.
You get the camera shaking, you watch their gun shake, you're moving with them. You feel like you're right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just great. I love the way that they do this. And then Jackson screams to Parker and he goes, heavy weapon in defilade below. I ain't got a shot. And then he goes, pincer move, Parker. You have any idea what a pincer move is?
No, I was just going to ask you. I don't know what that is. I have no idea what the reference is at all.
Okay, so a pincer move.
And I was going to say, and you, of course, know what it is.
Yes, it's a military maneuver in which forces simultaneously attack both flanks of an enemy formation. This classic maneuver has been important throughout the history of warfare. Okay, so basically what he's saying is we need to figure out a way of getting them from both sides in order to stop them.
Yeah.
Okay. Even Sun Tzu in The Art of War discusses this maneuver, you know, back in the 6th century BC. You know, it's something that really, really goes back very far. They say it was used in 490 BC at the Battle of Marathon, you know, where there was the Athenian general Miltiades. He deployed 900 Plataeans and 10,000 Athenians in a U formation in order to overcome the enemy. And the enemy outnumbered them, but they, because of the way that they did it, they were able to breach the Persian battle line. Alexander the Great also used it in the Battle of Hydaspes in 326. You also have Hannibal also used it in the Battle of Cannae in 216. I mean, again, it's just amazing that you know, there are all these famous battles where, you know, where a smaller force was able to overcome a larger force by using this move.
And it clearly is effective.
Yeah, Genghis Khan used it also.
Wow.
In one of the things, what else can is listed on here? There's something in the American Revolution. Daniel Morgan used it in the Battle of Cowpens in 1781. Basically, it was also what was used by the Germans during World War II. It was Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg was partially what they did. They used the pincer move. To try to take out. And that's how the Germans actually won the Battle of Kiev in 1941. And they were able to take 500,000 Soviet soldiers prisoner along the way because they did that so well. So that's just amazing. So you know, Jackson knows what they need to do, but unfortunately, he's not in a position to do it.
No. That's impressive.
Yeah. But again, the cool thing here is they show us from their perspective, you know, and then Jackson goes to the other side and starts shooting with a sniper rifle to try and stop, any of the enemy that's moving there. And again, we see from, like you said, it looks like a third person shooter or a first person shooter. Sorry, that we're basically watching him, you know, take out these guys as they're running across, you know. And again, he has a gun that he needs to constantly cock and reload after each shot. So that says something also. You know, that's not so simple with the way that he does it. And then the shot goes back to Miller, who he's with Ryan and Ryben, and they're all shooting at the 20mm, trying to do something. And then the 20mm moves back towards their position, which isn't very good either. you know, the Germans decide to move it towards where they are, and they're a little you know, surprised. Then Miller then grabs Ryan and gets him out of the way again. You know, he doesn't try to get Ryben and help him. He just wants to help Ryan.
Because he's well, he's the task. He's the mission. So
that's right.
It's amazing watching them go through and do it. And I think the ironic thing is, we know Ryan would fight, but if they weren't pulling him, he would still follow them. You know, he's gonna chase after him, but because they have to, and this is the mission, and that's what they're there for. There's no messing around. If I'm going to grab you. And you are coming with me, and this is non-negotiable. And also, he is not on their team. He hasn't had the bond with them to where he can trust them, and he knows them, and knows that he can rely on him to do that either.
See that Jackson is continuing to shoot, and he starts praying. He goes, "God grant me strength." You know.
Yeah.
And you know he's it's getting very intense for him. And then we're back to Miller and Ryan and Ryben, and they're. They're trying to dodge all these bullets that are coming around them.
And this is the part where it starts to feel like it's going to go bad for all of them.
That's right. That's right.
The moment where it feels like the tide is starting to turn and not in the right direction.
That's right. And then we see two soldiers that are just crawling on the ground. You know, two American soldiers crawling on the ground, screaming in pain as two Germans just run by them. So we know that these two guys that are on the ground are definitely part of the seven that were on the tank.
Yep.
So, you know, at this point, you know, we last week we had one American soldier that died, and now we have so we can say that there are five that are dead now, five new ones that died this minute.
Yep.
So we're up to a total of six right now. Because these two guys are still crawling, you know, so they somehow made it out.
They haven't expired yet.
Nope, not yet. Their due date has not come. was it? Smell that milk. You know. take a whiff of that milk. and then we get a 2 seconds of Upham at the end of this minute as he decides to finally leave his hiding place. He starts standing up and gets ready to run away.
Yep.
And that's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute?
I think in this one, I think we get to see a little bit more. You were talking about point of view a lot, being high and above too. I think, I might be wrong, but I feel like this is, World War II is one of the wars and battles where we start to see snipers a lot more. And seeing how important they were. I know in World War II, they were particularly important and effective watching it. And also watching the pressure that they're under being where they are and doing what they're doing. It's impressive and it's scary and it's terrifying. And also I made the joke about them being goalies, but they are. They're essentially alone when they're in those situations. Sure. And they're cut off to some degree, even though they're still part of the group. But yeah, watching it from Jackson's perspective and seeing everything happen and only being able to do what he can do from that position, but getting to see it all, it's gripping.
Yeah. It's just really, really cool the way they do it. No question about that. All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guests will give their top five, World War II movies. So, Heather, once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, this was a really hard one for me because I love war movies and I watched a lot of World War II movies. But I narrowed it down because I do what I'm supposed to here. So, my number five is Bridge on the River Kwai, which I think you actually were considering doing a minute by minute at some point.
I'm still considering it. It's on my list. It's high on my list. Who knows? Maybe that'll be season 10. We'll have to wait and see.
All right. If you do that one, I will be there. That one is amazing.
Come on. I know you'll be on any that I invite you to. It doesn't matter.
I do. And the only one I didn't, I think the only one I didn't do was, what was it?
You didn't do The Great Escape. That was the first, you skipped the first one.
Yep. I didn't do The Great Escape. Okay. So there was one I didn't do. I knew. But I won't miss any now. You're right. Okay, so my number four is Empire of the Sun.
What a surprise.
Pardon? Yeah, I know. Not a big shock. The rest of them aren't going to be either. My number three is Patton. It's worth watching just for George C. Scott's performance, but it was my dad's favorite war movie when I was a kid, so it was constantly on. The two things that were on TV the most when I was a kid, if my dad was watching TV on the weekends, was Star Wars and Patton. So, I have a soft spot for that one. My number two is Inglourious Basterds. I love that movie more every single time I watch it, and it's my favorite Tarantino movie, and it gives us some just desserts that I think a lot of us need. And my number one is the movie we're talking about right now, and I don't imagine how there could be a different number one on someone's list. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if there is, you're wrong.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that do not have it as their number one.
What a
There are a lot of
bunch
people
of
who
weirdos!
there are a lot of people who don't even have it on their list.
What? I mean, I could get into a discussion if it's not your number
Let's put
one.
it this way. Right now we're week 28. Only half the people have it on their list.
And they're on your show. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. What on earth? Okay, that's fine. If you're listening, folks, that Rob is talking about, you're wrong. I'm just saying. That's
I
crazy talk.
wonder if it'll be somewhere on my list.
I know. You haven't chosen to do a podcast on it because it's not on your list.
It doesn't necessarily need to be.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, if you're going to break down a long movie that's as arduous as this one and it's not top tier for you, you're definitely. Definitely. Well, you are a movie, Rob. You're 100 guys, 100 movies a month. So I guess if anybody could, it would be you.
Exactly. All right, great. Thank you very much for that. So, Heather, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on the interwebs at heatherbaxendale.com. All of my stuff is there. You can find my books. You can find my podcasts. And you can find all of my social media to follow me. Do so at your own risk.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn that. My solitude.